This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Jules.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And welcome to Jules and Sarah, the podcast. A little Christmas special. Queen is back.
I wouldn't go that far. It's a Christmas miracle right here for you. And may we first start off by saying Merry Christmas, Portslade crew. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. Where do we begin? Where do we begin?
And this is the thing that I was thinking about earlier, is that if you haven't listened to the podcast for a bit and you've been listening to it, the back episodes, they may have been slick. They may have been together. We may have been finishing each other's sentences. But at the time of recording, like, this one is going to be, if ever there was a cheap and creepy cobbled together show, this is going to be it.
Bed in, because it's going to be a slog. Let's face it. It's going to be... It's going to be a real undertaking to listen to this episode of the podcast. It'd be difficult to follow, I imagine, if you've got it on in the background. So
headphones and a walk is what this podcast needs.
That's it. If you could clear the decks, give yourself some time, maybe slip back into bed, make a cup of tea, and just hit play. That's probably the best way to listen to this, because... I was struggling to put together, just forgot the word string. I was struggling to string a sentence together before I had Nancy. Now we're at Christmas, we're at the end of the year, we're in the throes of Omicron. And I've got a little baby, a little 3 month old.
And now really this feels like the perfect dry ice velvet curtain removal to introduce Nancy and to talk about Nancy's arrival. Because obviously I have met Nancy. She's exquisite. But how are you doing, babe?
Oh, love. How am I doing? I'm very, very tired. It's amazing. It's all amazing. She's amazing. She's like my best mate. I get excited. Like now, so at the time of recording, and this could change at any moment, Nancy is asleep on John. So she's in the sling, she's on him. And as I say, she could stir, she could wake at any moment. So she may well put in an appearance. But right now, I've run off to the living room. I'm sat shuffling. I've shuffled. That's all I do now. That's the fastest I move. I shuffle. And I've come to sit by a Christmas tree that was much bigger than we originally anticipated when we ordered it, actually. I'm sat by it. I've got to share. I went a bit mad in paper chase.
Out of character.
And I thought, oh, I'll buy a few new bits for the tree. The biggest box arrived. There's baubles. I swear I never added to basket. And yet here they are. But I need to share this with you because this has just happened this morning. That I ordered it was going to be the centrepiece to my Christmas. It was a rainbow, multicoloured nutcracker candelabra, right? I was very, very excited.
Awful. I love you.
You would hate it. Anyway, obviously, they'd got sick of packing my order because it was so big. They slung the candelabra in, I mean, with a wafer thin piece of bubble wrap around it. Jules, it's arrived in 8 pieces.
I'm so sorry.
The centrepiece to my Christmas. And so I wrote to them and I did tell them it was going to be.
No, you didn't.
I was like, this was going to be the dazzling centrepiece to my Christmas table. I am very disappointed. Anyway, Tracy from Paper Chase wrote to me this morning and was like, so sorry to hear, Sarah, so sorry. We understand it's out of stock. They've had a run on. So she's refunded me the money.
Universe works in different, in very unusual ways, doesn't it, Sarah?
It does. So John has offered to try and stick it for me. He's going to try and stick it back together. I mean, what's worse, a candelabra or a candelabra that's clearly been broken in transit? What's worse? To have on display.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so, yes, I've been distracted. I knew when I complained to Paper Chase, I was like, I must tell Jules. As you know, I always have to inform you of a good complaint.
And this is the thing. This is the thing that actually, because we haven't podcasted in a while, and we said this when we saw each other, Portslade Crew, I have missed the podcast. I've missed podcasting than I can even put into words. And it is like a really... You miss it because I'm definitely getting the DMs. When's it coming back? Yeah. God knows I'm being harassed. But like...
Pull your finger out.
We miss it too. And things happen in our lives. Like Sarah's candelabra incident. Yes. Where we think, God, I would tell that on the podcast. I can't wait to tell this. So it's so nice
to hear
a story like this. I'm just like, oh my God, I've missed this so much.
You're so right. There's been so many moments when like, oh, I must tell them about this on the podcast. But one of the things that I did, one of the things that I remembered that I really wanted to tell you was about, now cast your mind right back because it was August. It was warm-ish. And do you remember that as part of my birth bag, as part of my labour going to hospital bag, I had invested in a silk headband. Yeah. Right?
Oh, yes. Yes, the recall.
It was a champagne silk headband, and it was this that would hold my trademark fringe back as I was in the throes of labour, right? And I was like, I shall be in the water. That's all I shall be wearing, the silk headband, and I shall bring my daughter into the world, right? I shall be breathing her out with my affirmations. Kate Bush will be lightly playing and she will arrive. It was nothing like this. Portslade Crew.
And I'm sure there are many mothers within the Portslade Crew nodding.
Oh my gosh, yes. If you've... Absolutely. So the silk headband, which was to be the showpiece, of course, of my labour, right? It wasn't fit for purpose because it was silk, it kept pinging off my head. So I kept putting it on. I was putting it on. I was throwing my fringe back. I was like this. Get my fringe off my face. Put the silk. Where's my silk headband? Where is it? And then I would turn round and it would either be sat on the top of my head like a pork pie or it was on the floor behind me, right? Constantly throughout my labour. In the end, I got so sick of it, I ripped it from my head and I stamped on it, Portslade Crew. And as I did, I remember it very, very clearly in the labour ward, throwing it on the floor and stamping on it. And I thought, I can't wait I can't wait to tell this on the podcast. What an image. Me in labour, going through contractions, you know, my 48-hour labour. And, well, you know, and me stamping on a silk headband.
Oh, my God, such a shame about the headband. Such a shame. And also, like, what a distressing moment that your look didn't work. It didn't work in the time. I'm so sorry.
But no, it really didn't.
How was the birth itself?
Jules has heard this, but Portslade crew. So basically, it was a birth of two halves, and I won't get into it too much, but things were going very, very well, you know, phenomenally well, and then everything stopped, right? Basically, that's what happened. Everything stopped, and we had to move, and we had to go to the labour ward. We were figuring it all out, and basically, at one point, it was decided that I was going to go for the epidural, right? I was like, I was kicking my legs. I was waiting for the anaesthetist to arrive. I had my long socks on, all ready to go. John popped out to get a sandwich, right?
I didn't know what story you were going to tell. And this is so good.
Also, Portslade crew, this is another part of birthing that nobody tells you. John had to be obviously very careful with his timing, but he did sidle up to me at one point and say, "Is now a good time to say, I do need to move the car?" I was like, "Don't talk to me about parking. Do not talk to me about parking right now." Anyway, John went off to get this sandwich. And my gorgeous midwife, Becky was like, "I'm just going to examine you. I'm just going to have a look at what's going on." Anyway, she examined me, and from absolutely nowhere, I was 9 centimetres, right? So the epidural, it was too late for the epidural. I was like, can I take the socks off? Right, you know, like the knee-high socks that you have to get, the tight socks that you have to get. Yes. Anyway, rang John. I was like, get back here. It's time.
Because John was buying a sandwich.
John was off getting his sandwich. Anyway, we sort of had this, we'd got into this rhythm, John and I, that when I had a contraction, I would hold on to John's forearms, we'd be facing each other, and we would breathe through together. That's what we would do, we'd breathe it through the contraction, breathe it through. Anyway, because John had been off, as we were breathing, I was like, what the hell is this awful smell? I said, John, what have you eaten? And he was like, oh, I've just had a chicken and stuffing sandwich. So there's me, silk headband pinging off my head. And now I'm breathing through my contractions, only to be met by the odour of sage and onion stuffing, right? Just flowing over me. Just like,
God. There.
I had visions of my candles. I wanted my smelling salts. And in the end, what did I have? I had John with a chicken and stuffing on malted brown.
Mother Luna, it was not.
But she arrived. She did arrive. She arrived fueled by Lucozade and Cherry Bakewell flapjack.
That's and long may that continue.
Yes, and amen to that. John was like, oh, I've never seen you drink a Lucozade before. Strange the things that come to you in moments of extreme pressure. Anyway, she arrived and she's just a dream. We're so lucky. We are so, so lucky. She's just gorgeous. She's got 18 Christmas outfits, as you can imagine. And she's just heaven. She's just the absolute, she's the dream. I miss her now. She's only upstairs. And obviously, I haven't been apart from her for 3 months. And I genuinely am like, oh, I can't wait for Nancy. Can't wait for Nancy to be up. And then the moment she cries, I'll be like, oh, I had 18 things I was meant to do, but never mind.
And also, I have got to say, Sarah, that I have so much respect for you for being in the position that you're in and sidestepping from social media, from everything, and just going, do you know what? I'm going to actually just bed in with my girl. And I think it's super cool. And I just love how you've done that. And I just have a lot of respect for you.
Oh, love. Well, thanks very much. And to be honest, it's bedding in is the right phrase, because we really haven't been out of bed. I mean, obviously, we've we went to baby sensory at one point, that Nancy cried and slept through. It was like they build up in baby sensory. They were building up to the grand finale, which was the bubble machine was on and the lights all snaking around like this, the sensory. Nancy was completely, totally asleep on me. And I had to sit there. You have to sit there as a parent and go, ooh, how amazing. My baby's asleep.
Nancy is but your baby.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, I'll just get into this. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'll pause. And I need to say a huge thank you to all of the Portsmouth. I've had the most amazing messages. I've had the most absolutely gorgeous gift. The most incredible little things. Tony has sent me this lovely little knitted cardigan that's actually become John's favourite of Nancy's cardigans. We had the most amazing little Schitt's Creek baby grow that said fold in the cheese on it. Just the most amazing things. So thank you, loves. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because you've just been gorgeous. And yeah, it's just been heaven. It's just been the most heavenly time. So thank you. Meanwhile, whilst I've been gaining a daughter, Jules has been gaining the virus. You've really thrown yourself into the pandemic, haven't you, darling?
You've really experienced it.
No,
it's really funny, Portsleigh Creek, because I actually haven't really talked about this online, because God knows on Instagram you just open up the door and it just all floods in. But I was like, you know what, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast because these are my people. These are my people.
Sure.
Yes, yeah. The past 10 days I have been down with the Omicron variant. And, you know, as somebody who thought I was convinced I was immune, I was completely convinced. And then came and got me.
So many of us are, darling, but the Rona had other ideas.
But it was deeply distressing, because the night before I found out, I was in the Ritz, clinky clinky, having a lovely time, and Rod Stewart was there. And then the next day I tested positive, and
only you, right? Anybody else would get coughed on a train. Not Jules. Jules was living it up in the Ritz with Rod Stewart just over there.
But I've been deeply paranoid. I've been checking, like, for the first few days, I was like, oh my God, what if I killed Rod Stewart? I was like, what if I passed it on?
I did see it. I did see Rod Stewart on Graham Norton, and I thought, well, thank God. Thank God for that.
I thought, this is all I need. This is all I need.
Not Rod. You didn't take down Rod. Rod Stewart contracts the Rona after mystery guest at the Ritz.
Oh, don't. So I tested positive, but we needed to go and do a PCR test.
Yeah.
So we obviously don't know our area that well, so I had to Google where to go to get the PCRs, because we've not had to do it. And when we have, we've done it in London before travel or whatever. Anyway, find this drive-through PCR, which in itself was a whole thing. So I'm now having my lateral flow knowing that I'm positive. So I'm going in being like, well, I know I'm going to test positive on this. Anyway, you drive it. We couldn't find it for ages. We kept turning up at building site. I was like, this doesn't look right. This doesn't look right. We found the drive-through thing. And it's lots of like things being posted through windows, like nothing's been touched. And it's in a car park. And in a very distressing area with 60s buildings. There was nothing. Dutch said under our masks, this is bleak. This is deeply bleak.
Yes. Sure. Not very festive.
No. And I picked this. The guy parked me. You know, they usher you in, the parking attendants. And I parked literally looking at a road where the traffic lights was on red. So everyone in their car was just watching me do this PCR. I was like, this will be the time when someone will see me and go, is that Jules van Hepp? As I'm there sticking an 8-inch rod into the back of my mouth, which is not the first time I've been spotted doing that. No. And then you have to post it back. It was just, and I was looking at these people looking at me, and I was thinking, God, if I was you in that car at the traffic lights, I'd be watching. I'd be going, God, yes. Look at that.
Yes. Look at that. Look at him there.
So anyway, came home.
Oh, wow.
Bedded in. Cancelled my entire December. And Sarah, outfits. Just outfits upon outfits that I had been waiting for. I have been so excited. I don't really like Christmas, but I've been deprived of socialising, moving out of the city and with the lockdown. God knows, Sarah, all I want to do is drink coupes of champagne and clink away. I just want to clink. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
That outfit rail is bulging, let's face it.
It's bulging.
Dutch crippling under the weight of trying to move it.
So,
the sequins
down I went,
alone.
Under the blanket, cleared the diary.
Yep.
So anyway, did you start to feel a little bit worse? I was like, I kept walking around the house just sticking my nose in candles. And I was like, no, I can still smell it. The Lalabo's still coming through. The Byredo's still strong. The Diptyque, no, I can still smell that faint smell of bays. And then I was wafting incense. And I was like, no, I've still got it. I've still got the smell.
Yes,
and then I was walking around the house. I was walking around the house because we were so like, because Dutch didn't catch it at all. Dutch did not get the Rona. It was constantly tested negative. Then there was this like weird moment where I felt my nostrils kind of tingle and I was like, it's going. It's literally going. So then I started going for the candles. I was like, oh my God, I can't smell a thing. I can't smell a thing. So I was spraying air freshener everywhere, trying to like get it back. And Dutch was out for a dog walk. And I was like, oh my God, I can't smell anything. Dutch came back and he was like, I can't breathe. He was like, this house stinks. I was like, oh no.
Oh,
and we
no.
had all the windows open, so the house was freezing. So it was just kind of like this absolute roller coaster. Like the sense that not having your smell is the weirdest thing ever. And I said to Dutch, why did I not lose my hearing? So I couldn't hear him whinging on. I was like, why can I not have like no... But losing your smell, as somebody who works in the beauty industry, as somebody who has 2,000 candles lit at all times, this constant seance, was deeply unnerving. Deeply, deeply unnerving. What,
I like the idea of you blowing them all out. Don't burn a single... I can't get any benefit from these. There's £48,000 worth of candles lit currently. Blow them all out. Shut them all down. And
strictly
has it come
unscented
back?
Tea lights. Strictly yes, unscented tea yes. lights. Yes, it's come back. It's come back. It's coming back.
Great.
Like, it's majority of it has come back now. And I've started wearing fragrance again. Poor fragrance cabinet. I was lying in my bed looking over and my beautiful array of fragrances just taunting me. Like, no point for spraying me. No point putting me on. Oh, no. It was just this absolute torture. I mean,
people aren't talking enough about fragrances that have lost out over the course of the pandemic. People aren't talking about that enough.
And I'm giving that airtime right now. I'm giving that my airtime. I'm giving it my dedication. But there were like... There were moments because I needed to go outside. I did really struggle mentally with it because it's hard. So I'd go out into the garden just to get some fresh air because I was like, at least we have a garden now. You know, in the first lockdown, we were in the shoebox flat. We had nothing like that. So I was like, right, I'll go out. And it was like at night when everyone was inside and I just kind of would stand there and let the cold air cover me. And I was having like, these out-of-body experiences like, oh my God, I'm outside, I must earth with myself, I must be at one with nature. And I'm now negative. I'm now testing negative, which is thrilling, and just on the run-up to Christmas.
And are you feeling better?
Yes, I feel better. I did a double Peloton, which really brought me
round. Oh, there you go. Yes.
Yes, I'm back on doing legs, bums and tums. It's all going on.
You doing a Peloton. I'm going round again. I'm going, do a double. Put it on again. I'm going again. Well done, darling. Well done for getting through the Rona. Well done for coming out the other side just in time for Christmas. And this will emerge once again. The stars in their eyes smoke and the doors will part and you will emerge in one of those outfits. In fact, I think over the course of Christmas Day, you should do some Beyoncé style changes. You know,
let me tell you,
the outfit
posts are coming. The outfit posts are coming. If you were teased and titillated by the flares at the Ritz, then have I got some treats for you, kids.
Stand back. because here they come.
To be honest, those flares really did let me down because I sat down in them and then they kind of rolled down a bit. So when I got up, you know, the Ritz having to hoik your trousers up before you go to the bathroom. How disgusting.
Well, of course, Rod Stewart was doing just the same thing, of course, only just over there. Will we do some correspondence?
Just before we get into Christmas correspondence, I had a really lovely DM this morning. I was like, how lovely, what a lovely timing, what a lovely piece of that. This comes from Ellen, and Ellen says, I'm deep into the podcast archive. Sarah is just married and you've just had your first Christmas with Dutch. It's amazing second time round. Even when I know what's coming, I just love it. Also, aww, do you realise how often you refer to Sheila being on lockdown when preparing for an event? Oh, the simpler times. I hope you have a lovely chic Christmas, both of you, and a fabulous new year. Love, Ellen. Divine. Oh,
gorgeous. Thank you, Ellen. We didn't know we were born, did we? We didn't know lockdown. Lockdown meant something totally different. Lockdown was just, it was just about Sheila getting her mood boards out.
Well, exactly. Exactly. That was when she just couldn't be bothered to leave the house. Oh my God, this is so sweet. It's a tiny red mitten.
Oh, look. Is that a silver pen? It's been written.
It is a silver pen. Merry Christmas, Jules and Sarah and John and Nancy and Peggy and Dutch and Willow. Oh, you've got us all in there.
The whole family.
I know the podcast is on a bit of a maternity leave, but wanted to send a little Christmas cheer from sunny Southern California, dying to return to the UK next year once we are no longer working from home. Merry, merry, happy, healthy new year. Much love, OG fan from the cab office days, Mary.
Mary, do you know, really enjoying Merry, Merry. I think that I shall be using that. Merry, Merry.
It's Merry, very, it's Merry. Very Sarah Powell, isn't it?
I really, really enjoy that. Merry, Merry, Merry.
Now this is a little white envelope and it's got a lovely gold star on the back here. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that is nice. Look at that.
It's an illustration by Hi Hello Art Design.
It's Philippa. It's Philippa. Gorgeous Philippa. It's lovely Philippa.
And Philippa says, Jules and Sarah, wishing you both and your families a wonderful Christmas and happy, healthy new year. Looking forward to the return of the podcast in 2022. Aww. Love, Philippa. Me
so are we.
Too, Philippa.
So are we. Philippa speaking for the nation there.
And then this one, who I will say, because we have sent our wedding save the dates out and I need to practice to get the fountain pen working. I have used the back of the envelope as an inkwell.
We haven't even touched on the wedding. To be honest, I feel like if we sat here recording the podcast between now and Christmas, we still wouldn't get through everything.
No.
We still wouldn't get through everything.
And also, I'm not really at charger plate gate. I'm not there yet.
Sure.
Like,
oh, it's all fun and games at the moment.
Yeah, to just give you a nipple tease, the venue is booked. The date is booked. But what am I wearing? All of that has not been arranged.
What am I wearing? Who knows? Who knows?
We might need a day out shopping for you, Sarah.
I think we definitely do. Without question, we do.
Oh, this is a card from the Finsteads. And they've said, you know, they always send their little card from Canada.
Yeah. Oh, look. Oh, my God. Is it Christmas until you've heard from the Finsteads?
And on the back, there is their dog, Grim, who is their Irish wolfhound, and it says they unfortunately lost Grim swiftly and unexpectedly in September. He was loved by so many and will be sorely missed. And I actually remember back in the cab office days messaging the Finsteads and being like, oh my God, look at your dog. He's so lovely.
Yes.
So, sending you so
really
much
sad.
Love.
Oh, loves.
Bless you. Great. Any more correspondence, you can send through because we will be coming back next year.
It would be nice
to have some correspondence to come back with.
If
anybody gets new stationery, new notelets, anything like that, do feel free if you want to get your fountain pen ink going, feel free to write to us.
Please do. We would love that. And also let us know, what have you been up to during the break? What have you been up to during the break in the podcast? And also a lot of people in the fabulous Facebook group have been sharing what they're revisiting from the podcast. And also, I love it when people dive in. People just, like, obviously a lot of people have started listening from the start, which is incredible. But also a lot of people are just hitting on random episodes, which is very fun. Very fun.
Oh my God. We will... Podcast roulette.
Yes, podcast roulette. Amazing. We will give out the P.O. Box address at the end of the podcast.
I can't remember it. Yes, I can.
It'll come to you, darling, I'm sure. How is Sheila? On this week running up with the Christmas preparations, June is parboiling and freezing carrots. I just need to share that image. But we'll come on to June very shortly. How is Sheila?
Have Sheila and Ken moved house when we ended the pod?
They had just moved. And do you know what I thought of? Randomly in the middle of the night on a night feed, it was 3 a.m. I was feeding Nancy. I thought, what happened to Ken's plants? What happened to Ken's plants, which went in to
storage?
Where did they go? They went to storage. They went to plant storage. Did they survive?
They came back. Only one had died, which Dad thought was very impressive. So it was good. It was good.
A 4-star review for them.
So they've been really getting to grips with their house. Bless them. Every time they're in renovation gate as well. So every time I phone them, there's drilling going on. Sheila's just got a new utility room, which she gave me a tour of the other day. Extensive. That's a woman who's done utility rooms before. Like, she was showing me around and I was like, Mum, I think you just need to move to Kent for a bit and come and just do our house. It would be really useful because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But they also, I was thinking about, I was like, which Ken and Sheila's story can I tell them? Because at the time of recording, she's in Stressgate. She was going into Waitrose like she was going into a war zone. She didn't manage to click and collect, which I said, well, there's no point click and collecting anyway. But then also she couldn't get a slot online. So Sheila got herself a new car a few months ago. She traded it in, got an upgrade, got a sporty little number to match her sporty little house. And she'd been to Waitrose and she got on the drive and she put her shopping down and was looking for a key. Anyway, she looked over at a car and it was rolling down the hill. And
Oh
my God. So she was like it was rolling out of the drive and she was like, oh my God, the handbrake. So she said she dropped all the shopping, ran down the street, got behind it and stopped it. She stopped the car, which we have all deemed deeply unsafe. We've all said to her, Sheila, this is unsafe. The hill, Sarah, is not hella steep. Like, the car would not have been moving fast.
She caught the car like some sort of Hulk woman, like some sort of Wonder Woman in a leotard, catching a Marvel film, like they catch cars.
That's what she did. And you damn well know she was in a ballet flat. Because that woman doesn't wear grip shoes.
The years of yoga have really paid off.
So she caught the car. She caught the car. Oh, and I was like, Mum, you could have been flattened. That was the stupidest thing to do. She just let it go. She was like, no, because he's got a Porsche at the bottom of the road. She was like, I can't be forking out for that Porsche repairs. So she got it sorted.
Not the Porsche.
And she said she got back in, handbrake on. And then she had to drive back up to the drive. And on the drive back up to the drive, back up to the drive, she hit a bag of shopping and ran it over. She said she ruined a trifle.
Oh, God. That Pavlova, they had to go in the bin.
So, yes, they are good. They're good. They're tinkering about. Ken has been without a car, so she has been taxiing him around. It's been a lot of COVID stress at the moment in our household.
Yeah, of course.
We're on the run up to Christmas now. She's trying to get the Heston Waitrose chocolate penny. Have you seen it?
I have. I've only seen it on the advert. And I was here. We were watching telly. I was with Evie, my youngest stepdaughter. We gasped. We both gasped.
I had it on that Waitrose press event.
Oh, my God. Was it next level?
Unbelievable. But you couldn't buy it in advance because obviously it's fresh. So it needs to be bought close to the time. I said to Mum, it's absolutely incredible. You need to get that in your life.
I mean, if anyone is prepared to rugby tackle another person in Waitrose to get their hands on Heston.
This woman can hold up a BMW. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. She can catch a car. She's, believe me, if anyone's getting a chocolate penny this year, it's our Sheila.
My it only really advice is. To other shoppers in Waitrose today is back away. Back yes, away yes. from this woman.
Keep back.
She's on the edge and she needs that chocolate penny. Now, it was very lovely to receive a Christmas card from June, as always. And we always send June a Christmas card. And in it, she said, I can't wait to see you in next year. We must meet up. And I think she said something like, and get silly, which I was really into. Because I was like, June's up for a mad one.
Lovely to receive a card from June. We haven't, just to say that. No card here. We haven't received a card from June. So June, I mean, June honestly writes about 200 Christmas cards. She starts them in October. She writes 5 a night. That's honestly what June does. June writes, and then she has like the Royal Mail sack that she has to shove them all in and send them on the way. But honestly, it's a second job, really.
I did spot an arthritic flick on the F, actually, come to think of it.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be her bad thumb. That'll be what's going on there. Oh my God. Well, the first thing I need to... So Lorna and I went home to go and see June and took the babies. And there was a very... June's a
because of course
woman,
Lorna has a baby the same
Lorna's
age.
Had, well, yeah, it was similar age. Stella's slightly older now. Stella's Stella was born in February. Nancy was born in September. They're already, obviously, the best of friends. It was funny, actually, because Stella came here to visit. And we realised that we didn't have anything to put Stella in. You know, we didn't have a bouncer or a walker or anything. So we put her in a washing up basket like this. So she was in the washing up basket next. Nancy was just sort of looking at her going like, interesting. What's the story here? Anyway, so we went home. Now, June was popping out somewhere. I mean, could have been Sainsbury's, could have been Pilates. Could have been, you know, home group, could have been quartet violining. June's a busy woman. She's got a lot of engagements. Anyway, she asked Lorna if she would mind blow drying her hair, right? So Lorna was like...
Stressful.
She was like, do the back for me, Lorna. Anyway, she was like, all right, and now curl it under. Just curl it under a bit. Anyway, Lorna was doing it. And Mum went, oh no. Mum went, oh no. Oh no, not like that. God, I look like Shakespeare. No. Oh God, I look like Shakespeare.
Not a look anyone really desires. You don't God. Hear anyone asking no. for the Shakespeare, do you?
Oh God. Anyway. June's in a mess because June's ordered two turkeys. June said, now, Nanny Lula, right, who microwaved a pension, my nan, Nanny Lula has got a fabulous butcher. She's got a wonderful butcher. She's, you know, she's out there. She's in those Welsh hills. She's got a terrific butcher. She said, June, shall I order you a nice big turkey from our butcher? This was back in God, September or whatever. Mum was like, yes, absolutely, Nan, get me a big turkey. June then forgot and has since also ordered a Waitrose turkey. So there's two turkeys coming. But the best thing is, Nan has had to go and get, well, the butcher is bringing the turkey to Nan, probably at the time of recording. It's probably arriving as we speak. But where to store it to keep it cold? So Nan's keeping it in the back of her car, right? She's got to put it in the boot of the car.
That sounds safe.
It'll stay cold. Yes.
And it will stay cold.
Right? It will. It'll be perfect. And then she's got to get it on community wheels to get her to the garden centre so Mum can come and pick her up. So Nan has got to get herself... with her Christmas, you know, her little Christmas case and her Christmas things and this ruddy great turkey on community wheels. So think of Nan. Mum said, when do you want to come? do you want to come on the 21st? And Nan went, oh, no, no, that's far too soon. No, I'll come on the 23rd, thanks. Nan wanted a bit of time. Nan wants to be at home with the Baileys. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't want to be travelling uphill and down Dale, carting a great big turkey. Honestly, though, the turkey on community wheels.
That turkey's afterlife is impeccable.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Will we do, I've missed the podcast so much, will we do a bit of news from the north?
Oh my goodness, let's. Now, mine is a short news from the north because I knew this was going to be a bumper podcast. Sure. Now, this comes from, this is a news from time gone by. And actually, I can't credit myself for finding this. I did see it on Nick Grimshaw's stories the other day, so it's been yoiked from there.
Sure.
This comes from the BBC. Fox found with impressive shoe collection in Berlin. Lovely.
Great. Perfect.
Lovely. A fox in a leafy suburb of Berlin has been getting into the spirit of summer, yes, told you time gone by collecting flip-flops. For weeks, residents of Zeheldorf were baffled by a thief who was stealing their flip-flops and sports shoes from their gardens at night. Finally, a man spotted the culprit on a patch of wasteland, carrying two blue flip-flops in its mouth, the daily paper reports. The fox had a hoard of 100 shoes, but not the man's missing running shoe. Disappointing. Imagine spotting it and going, that's the thief. I've seen it, that damn fox. And then getting to it, no, your ASICs are not in there. The man had suspected it might be a fox. Who is this man?
Who is leaving all of their shoes outside? Who is keeping all of their shoes and their flip-flops outside their house?
Oh, Sarah, it's the continent. It all goes on over there. Okay. It all goes. As somebody who is, half my family now are on the continent, let me tell you, shit goes down. Trainers are left out. The man had suspected it might be a fox. This is definitely fox behaviour. After raising the matter on a neighbourhood watch website and getting complaints from other locals about a missing pair of shoes, or one missing shoe. there's also some amazing footage of the fox taking the shoe, which is very partial to Crocs by the looks of it. It closes there. What a terrific news from around.
Fabulous. What an absolutely glorious tale. Now, mine is festive. My news from the north. Mountains of Brussels sprouts have spilled all over a roundabout in a tragedy for Christmas lunches in Scotland. Dinners may be in doubt as a huge pile of the festive vegetables built up, turning the concrete green. Police were called to the scene in Admiralty Road in Rosyth, Fife, at around 10:45 today. A trailer being pulled by another vehicle overturned, shedding its load everywhere.
You can just imagine people slipping on them, can't you? Does everyone? Yes, damn.
That's it. Absolutely. Skidding all over the place. Southwest Fife Police tweeted, there's been a bit of a hashtag Brussels sprouts accident at the roundabout in Admiralty Road. Hashtag Rosyth. There's the police really getting on board. There's also a picture on this article of all of the Brussels sprouts spilt everywhere. And it says, sprouts everywhere. Please avoid the area if possible. Traffic and hashtag Christmas dinners may be affected. Apologies for any delays. Really enjoying the police use of hashtags here, actually. The road was closed for several hours as workers used shovels and a mechanical digger to scoop up the sprouts. Responding to police, one person chipped in asking, was the lorry sprout of control at the time? Another said, sproutrageous driving. But others were more concerned for the fate of the veg, suggesting, just rinse those sprouts off. They'll be fine. And so a festive tale there of Brussels sprouts in peril.
Good heavens. You've just reminded me, I'm making a sprout gratin. And I need to somehow...
Are you?
Yes. A sprout gratin has been created for Christmas.
Gorgeous.
And I was like, what time am I going to leave tomorrow to get this gratin? You know how it is.
Yes, sure. Back planning. Do you want to play Would You Rather?
Oh my God, I completely forgot about this feature because you are always in charge of what Would You Rather. So I just, oh my God, yes, sorry. I'm in the room. I'm present.
Sure. Hang on a sec. Okay. Let me find, I'm trying to find a, okay, this is good. So Jules, for Christmas, would you rather be one of Santa's elves or be one of Santa's reindeer?
Reindeer.
An elf. Oh. See, I thought you'd be an elf because I thought you'd want to be inside, not doing the hard labour.
No, Sarah. How many days a year will those elves be working, hammering away at things, pulling the shift, doing the late nights? No. 'Tis the elves that hold that crutch together. I want to be a flying reindeer. Just one night a year, that's your shift, job done.
That's it. That's it. Being groomed, being fed carrots for the rest of the year. Yeah, that is a good point. It's only one night, isn't it?
And also, and Sarah, you know I could land on a roof with ease.
Oh, in seconds, darling. To the marker. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't make a noise. No one would wake up. I could land on the roof.
You'd be fabulous, actually. You'd be absolutely glorious. And you are partial to a raw carrot, so that will work out very well.
Isn't that wild how Santa can land on the roof? If you really think about it, that whole sleigh, that's big.
Yeah.
And all the reindeer.
And a lot of reindeer. Yeah, a lot of reindeer. No, it's continually, every year, it's incredibly impressive that he manages it. Oh my gosh, have I told you the story about when we went to Lapland as a family to meet Santa? So we went to Lapland, right, as a family to go and meet Santa. And let me tell you, it's still one of the best holidays that I've ever been on in my life.
Is that your dream holiday?
Oh my God, it's the dream. It's totally dark. It's freezing cold. There's magic in the air. It's just incredible. There's elves. You know, you'll be walking through, going on the sledge ride with a husky. An elf will, you know, throw a snowball at you through the trees. It's all giggles. It's all Christmas songs. It's absolutely gorgeous. Anyway.
And how old were you when you went?
Well, I was 15, right? So George really hanging on. Was 5. Yeah, oh, I was absolutely clinging on there. I actually fancied one of the elves. But we were driving round. So you drive round on this bus. Anyway, it came to the point. It came to the day. And our guide was like, oh my gosh, you know, so we're going to go, you know, she was like, now parents, the scenery's absolutely amazing. It's incredible where we're going. Make sure you've got your camera. Make sure everybody's going to want their camera, parents, because of the scenery, you know, and you're like, oh my God, it's happening. We're going to go and meet Santa. And so you get off the bus and it's a winter wonderland and the grotto is like carved into the side of a mountain and there's the ruddy faced elves ready there to take your hand, to guide you in. You go in, Santa's there, he's in soft focus. You know, this is the real Father Christmas, like, that you're going in to see. It's just beautifully lit, there's candles, it's just, you know, it's the real deal. He's basically sat on a gold throne. Anyway, he reached out his hand and he looked at us and he went, all right, come in then. He was like, all right, lovely to see you. I'm coming. I've got your letters. He was from Wolverhampton. Santa was from Wolverhampton. Mum and Dad. I mean, my little brother was like wide-eyed. Just couldn't believe that it was
Santa. Parents are Brummy.
Yeah, they're from the Midlands. So the fact that he was like, all right, lovely to see you. Thanks for coming. Come on in. Have a seat. I've got your letters here. Oh, my God. It was the funniest thing. It was so so funny. Portslade crew, we adore you for listening.
Oh,
we
my goodness.
Absolutely adore you. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad we got to do this. We weren't sure between the Rona, between the babies, between the Brussels sprout gratin.
It's
we
been
didn't know
touch
we'd be
and
able
go.
To do a pod. It has.
Been
it
touch
really
and go.
Has. So I'm delighted that we've managed to do it. We love you so much. The address, should you wish to write to us, is
the Portslade Crew HQ,
PO Box 300,
ME13 3DP.
It would be gorgeous. Send us a little something and thank you for everything that you've sent in the meantime while we've been off. We do always finish on Jules's affirmation of the week. Now, this has got a lot of pressure on it.
Of the year, really.
Affirmation of the year. This is the affirmation of the year.
there is a lot of pressure on this, but I really thought about everything that's happening at the moment, things that are changing, and I was like, do you know what? I'm really grateful for where I am. I'm really grateful. Mm. So I was like, do you know what? It's going to be a couple of mantras. This is going to be a gratitude mantra. I am grateful for this season of change. I am grateful to be here and now. I am grateful for my health. I will appreciate and enjoy the simple moments today. I am grateful for the ups and downs, and I'm grateful for all of the good in my life. I am grateful for you, Sarah Powell, and I'm grateful for you, Portsaloo crew.
Amen. Portsaloo crew, have yourself a merry little Christmas, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.